Well, before we go to our text tonight, let me just share something with us. 1 Peter chapter 5, quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5. Glory to God. Yeah. When you see utterance come out like that, that means something needs to be addressed. So, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's read from verse 6. Hallelujah. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Let me read verse 6. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. He may exalt you in due time. And it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you know the Bible teaches that it's humility to cast your care? The Bible teaches that it's humility for a believer to cast a care. In other words, it is pride for you to hold on to your care. You know, we don't see it as pride, but it's pride for you to hold on to your care. For you to hold on to your care is to say that your father is not capable of handling your care. So it says, casting all. Is continuing from the previous verse. How do you humble yourself? Casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. How do you show that you believe he cares for you? He says, casting all. It's something you do once and for all, and you keep doing when necessary. When means when thoughts arise that makes it look as though things are not going to work. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. How do you read God's CV? He cares for you. See, he cares for me. He's got my back. He's done a perfect work in Christ. He's doing a perfect work in me. Hallelujah. It's a casting all your care. And when it says all, it means all. All means all. That means you are not even allowed the luxury of the smallest care. How is it going to be? It's a casting all your care. It's a for he cares for you. Do you know that the human mind is not designed to process worry? The human mind is not designed to process worry. You were designed to process faith. That is absolute reliance on your father's ability to put you over. So it says, casting all your care. And a simple instruction like that sometimes seems to be the hardest instruction to follow by a lot of believers. It's a casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. Say, he cares for me. He cares for you. It's a casting all your cares. So that's something you do. That's something somebody can do for you. That's something you do by yourself. You are to cast all your care. That means, this is not the easiest thing to tell believers, but to worry is a sin. To worry, to be anxious is a sin. And he calls it pride. It means you have more confidence in your ability to sort it out than you have in his ability to put you over. That's what it means. So it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. It's when you understand that, you cannot go to verse 8. Look at verse 8. He says, be sober. So what does worry do to a believer? He ensures you are not sober. To be sober means you are in your right mind. You know, use a word that you would find, you will use for people opposite of being drunk. That's what it means to be sober. That means a man can be drunk with the cares of this world. It means after a while of meditating and bringing on the cares of this world, you're no longer thinking right. You're not in your right senses. It says, be sober. And be is an action word. Be sober means it's your responsibility. You're the one that exercises yourself to make sure you're sober. He's telling you cares of this world can actually ruin your thinking, can affect your faith. So it says, be sober. So he's telling you, how do you cast your care? Be sober. Be what? Vigilant. For your adversary. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Don't miss what he's trying to say. Don't look for the enemy walking like a lion. Okay? It's a pictorial language. What is it? Be sober. Where is sobriety? Where do you practice sobriety? In your heart or in your mind? Good. So, if the enemy is walking around, where is he walking around? In your mind. Be sober, vigilant. Because your adversary, like a roaring lion. That's a figure of speech. Like, he's not one. He's like a roaring lion. A roaring lion sends out noise to scare anything within his environment. What kind of noise does he send out? Does the enemy send out? Thoughts will assail your consciousness. Thoughts will assail your mind. Jesus put it this way. He said, take no thought, saying. It means you're not yet caught in the trap until you verbalize the thoughts. Is it take no thought sin? So thoughts will come to you that you are not meant to take, that you are meant to reject. This is be sober. Stay sober. Be vigilant. That means there are thoughts that will come. You need to recognize not all thoughts that come to your mind come from you. You need to understand that. A lot of believers don't understand that there are many thoughts that come to mind that doesn't come from them. This is be sober, then be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom. So he needs your permission to devour. How is he going to devour? If you don't stay sober, if you take thoughts that are not yours, if you embrace them. How do you embrace them? You begin to verbalize them. Honestly, the way things are going, I can't last the end of this year. You are taking thoughts that are not yours. Those thoughts could never have come from your father. He thought towards you are thoughts of peace and of evil to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. He says, stay sober. When you say sober, you need to understand you're already more than a conqueror to him that loved you. You're not trying to make it. You have made it in Christ. He says, stay sober. That's how to stay sober. You maintain thoughts that line up with the truth of God's word. That's how to stay sober. It means there are other thoughts that are contrary. Those thoughts will get you drunk on the wrong things. So you stay sober deliberately by holding thoughts in your consciousness that line up with what your father has said about you. That's how to stay sober. So he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. We're going to stop here. Whom resist steadfast, how? Steadfast, how? Knowing the same one, afflictions are accomplishing your brethren in the world. In other words, saying, you are not the only one fighting this kind of battle. All your brethren are facing the same challenges of thought, so stop having a pity party. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. You are not the only one. All your brethren are going through the same. What's it called in affliction? The challenge of making sure you stay sane, you stay sober. You keep the right thoughts at all times. You reject the wrong ones. Is it because if you embrace the wrong ones, the enemy will encroach upon your mind. And it will be a doorway into your life. Hallelujah. So you need to understand how, that's spiritual warfare, really. That's spiritual warfare. As it says, stay sober. You have to stay sober. And the only way to stay sober for the believer is you have to maintain the right thoughts. You have to reject the wrong thoughts. So think victory. Think success. Think prosperity. Think like a son. And all things that pertain to sonship will be made manifest in your experiences. Amen. That's an instruction for someone. So let's go to our... Hallelujah. That's not what I'm teaching. So in case you're wondering, I didn't deviate. Because of the utterance that came at the end of worship, I needed to say that to encourage someone. Okay? And I trust that you're encouraged. Amen. Good stuff. John chapter 14. Quickly. Glory, 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 glory. Have you been blessed so far? Are you getting some new things? Are you seeing things in a better light? Glory, glory, glory. All right. John chapter 14, verse 11. Verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Very many I say unto you that believe on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever, the one and is joining the last sentence with this other one, and whatsoever means, and because I go to the Father, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Is that in your Bible? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we establish the fact that greater works has to do with Jesus going to the Father. We establish that going to the Father is Jesus going by the way of the cross. And that after 3 days, he resurrects. And after he resurrects, he ascends to the right hand of the Father. This is what Jesus means by saying, I go to my Father. So there's something about Jesus arriving at the Father's right hand, and you and I doing greater works. We connected it. We also notice that in that same verse, he mentions his name. So greater works, going to the Father's right hand, and the name of Jesus are connected. Very important that we see that. Let me say that again. Greater works, Jesus sitting at the Father's right hand, and we using his name after he sits at the Father's right hand, are all connected. So we said something yesterday which was quite a jump. And that's the fact that Jesus did not get the name that he was given until he sat at the Father's right hand. The sitting at the Father's right hand is a statement of accomplishment, which means Jesus accomplished some mighty feats that made him sit in that position. And that position and the name of Jesus are the same. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus and where he sits are the same. So his name is an expression of where he sits. And then we looked in the scriptures and we saw, where did he sit? Look at Psalm 110 one more time. Psalm 110. And we looked at verse 1. Psalm 110 verse 1. Are you there? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy one enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the word of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. We see this is a prophecy about the New Testament. We see here the prophet speaking by the Spirit what he saw, which he couldn't explain. We have looked in this series about the fact that the prophets prophesied and spoke of the things we are now experiencing. And when they were speaking about it, the Bible says that they searched diligently what manner of time those things would make manifest, because it was revealed to them that those things were not for their day. Put your hand there. Go to 1 Peter 1:10. Before we pray, it's Bible study so that we can actually understand fully everything that we're looking at in God's word. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and sat diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So we realize that that which we have now as believers, which we are walking it, was something that the prophets, not one prophet, the prophets have prophesied. They've spoken in parts, in portions, at different times. So what the believer has today has been spoken of by the Spirit of God to the prophets long before now. Everything that Jesus did and he walked in was spoken by various prophets at different times to show you the immutability of God's counsel. So he says the prophets, they've spoken, they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Look at the next verse 11. Searching what of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand. That means long before the event took place, the Spirit of Christ used words spoken by the prophets to testify of specific events before they happened. It says they testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and what? The glory that should follow. That word, the phrase, the glory that should follow, is a compound word. That word is referring to all that Christ died to accomplish. The glory that should follow. So the new creation is part of the glory that should follow. The dominion of the new creation is part of the glory that should follow. Being joint heirs with Christ is part of the glory that follows. Hallelujah. Having the indwelling of the Spirit is part of the glory that followed. So they searched. They knew what they said. They didn't understand everything they said, but they knew what they said. Then they began to search. What is the time frame for the fulfillment of these things? Okay, so verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel to you, where the Holy Ghost sent them from heaven, with things the angels desire to look into. Okay, so we won't go into that one tonight. But in that one verse, it's telling you that the new creation is a university that angels study from. Hallelujah. It's telling you that the new creation, it says there are things that angels are looking into, and those things have to do with salvation. It says those who have reported those things with you, they preached it to you with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. So the reality of the new creation, all that Christ has wrought, is something that even the angels desire to look into, because even the angels don't understand that message. So the angels have to study the new creation to understand all that salvation actually entails. And that's serious. That's serious. Say, I am the university. Say, I am the university that angels study to understand God. Now, I know religious thinking makes you feel like, you know, angels understand God more than you do. They don't. They don't. The Bible says that so that now unto the principalities and powers may be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3:10. That word principalities and powers does not always refer to evil spirits. It refers to cadres of authority. Hallelujah. So angels have kingdoms of authority. So principalities and powers are also angelic hierarchy. It now says that unto them might be known through the church the many-sided wisdom of God. Say, I am the church. And through me, God's wisdom is on display. Hallelujah. So he says the angels are to look into God's wisdom displayed through salvation in the church. So go back to Psalm 110. Verse 1 again. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy one enemies thy footstool. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Peter quotes that same verse in Acts chapter 2. The Father's right hand. It's so important that we understand it. Only revelation of the truth ensures you walk consistently in dominion. Are you there? I read from verse 32. This Jesus, as God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by where? The right hand of God, what? Exalted. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Pay attention to the word he has shed forth. What did they see on the day of Pentecost? The people spoke with tongues and prophesied. So he says, Jesus, whom God has raised up, now being by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth, or he has emptied out this, which you can now see and hear. Look at the next verse. For David is not ascending unto the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Where are they quoting from? Psalm 110 verse 1. Now look at the next thing he says. Therefore, so verse 25, until I make thy foes thy footstool. In other words, that scripture is saying, why did Jesus ascend to the Father's right hand? We said the Father's right hand is the place of absolute authority. All the authority the Father has, all the authority of the Godhead, is what the Bible refers to as the Father's right hand. Now Jesus is now seated at the Father's right hand. He now says, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies thy footstool. And I explained to us the word till there actually means in order that all your enemies may become your footstool. All your enemies may submit to you. So how long is the church going to be in authority till all the enemies submit? How many of you understand that? So he says, sit down my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So when Jesus said to us in that John 14, 12, and he says, verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. The works that Jesus is speaking about in terms of greater works has to do with the realm of authority he will attain at the Father's right hand. He now said, also, and whatsoever you shall ask in that name, that will I do, that the Father. So we know that his exhortation to the Father's right hand, which is the place of all authority, and his name are linked. They are linked. It is therefore not wrong to say that the name of Jesus means all authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember when we looked at the name of Jesus last year, I told you the name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S. When the Bible speaks about the name of Jesus, it's a container of something much more. Okay? It's a statement describing all that Jesus is worth now. So the Father's right hand and the name of Jesus are directly linked. The name of Jesus didn't change as far as pronunciation is concerned. But the meaning, the what, the status, the might behind the name changed when he sat at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he now said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he just finished telling them, the works that I do shall you do. Did they do the works that Jesus did while he was there? Yes. So the emphasis really wasn't the works he did. The emphasis was the greater that they were going to do because of the fact that he was going to have more authority than he ever had before. And that's so important. We took pains to establish the fact that the name of Jesus, what he meant in the Gospels, is not the same thing that it means in the epistles, to show us that the authority he's speaking about is a wider scope of authority. When he was on the earth, look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I need to move fast. Verse 1. Luke 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city, and place whither he himself will come. Next verse. Therefore said unto them, the harvest really is great, but laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that I will send forth laborers into his harvest. Next verse. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way, into whatsoever house you enter, first say peace be to this house. When he says salute no man, he didn't say don't greet any man. The word salute there means don't linger around anybody's resources. Hallelujah. Don't lobby around anybody's resources. That's what it means. That's what salute. That means don't let me live up. Next verse. And if the son of peace be here, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Next verse. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such as they give for the liberal is what you have said. Go not from house to house. You see, he's not talking about begging up and down. So ministry is not about begging. And to whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such as I what? Said before you. Next verse. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near. It's not yet manifest, it has come near. So when he sent them, what were they preaching? They were using the name of Jesus. In what dimension or capacity was they being used? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That was their message. They were preaching that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost power. We can prove he's anointed. We will heal your sick. We will cast out devils. That's all they could do. And the only people they could go to were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Nobody more. So the scope of the authority in the name determined what they could do with the name at that time. So when he was telling them, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he couldn't tell them until that time that whatsoever. Whatsoever means whatsoever. But he couldn't say whatsoever because at that time, his name didn't carry that kind of authority. Hallelujah. But at the Father's right hand is the place of one all authority. So he could now say whatsoever you ask in my name. Why? That name now is a repository of all authority. That's what it means. Glory to God. So when he rose from the dead and he sat at the Father's right hand, I showed us some scriptures. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. I'm going to take you into it because I'm preparing you for next year. I'm preparing you for next year, okay? Next year is not business as usual. We'll go on expeditions, excursions. We'll go and do crusades. Yes, you. You is actually you I'm talking about. Glory to God. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying what? All. Why did he say this? Look at verse 17. Previous verse. Then 11 disciples, when they went to Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Next verse. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me where? Did he say this before he rose from the dead? Did he say this before he rose from the dead? No. He couldn't because he didn't have it. Now he had it. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore what? Teach all nations. Who were they going to go to before he rose from the dead? Go only to the lordship of the house of Israel. Where should they go now? All nations. Why should you go to all nations? I have all power. Can you see the difference? So is the work greater or not? Is the work greater or not? Is the authority greater or not? Is the name greater or not? Hallelujah. You see? So it says, go ye and teach all nations. So the word teach them means make disciples of all nations. Before is when he sent them initially, were they able to make disciples? No. Hallelujah. They couldn't make disciples. So the Father's right hand is not just a sign that Jesus has been exalted and the believer with him. The Father's right hand proves that the believer has all authority, which means greater works is the reality for every single believer now. I'm showing us the basis of our right to expect greater things to be done according to what the scripture teaches. Glory to God. All authority and all power. The same thing applies when it comes to prayer. Look at what Jesus thought about prayer. Before you look at what he said about prayer, look at John's epistle of John, chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John 5, 11. See what it says when it comes to prayer. Are you there? It says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that has the Son has life. And if I ask not the Son of God, ask not what? Life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So the things that the epistle teaches is addressed to a believer for one purpose, that the believer may know. The gospels are written that men may believe. The epistles are written that the believer may know what he has believed. Hallelujah. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Let me read that again. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. That last part is not in the original text. Okay? That's a repetition. It's not in the original text. You don't find any other text. Let me read again. These things have I written unto you that believe. Do you believe? Have you believed? Hallelujah. So that believe on the name of the Son of God, that means you're born again, that you may know. Say, I know. I have eternal life. So that you may know. Look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Notice I read it without any commas, deliberately. How do you normally read it? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So the picture you get in that verse of scripture is this. If he is going to hear me, I must ask according to his will. Not so. Not so. Remember, the original text doesn't have commas. So the interpreters or the translators actually have liberty in where they put their commas. Because this doesn't line up with any scripture that you can find in the epistles. What does he actually say? Let's read that verse again. And this is the confidence that we have in him if we ask anything. It is his will to hear us. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. What that scripture teaches this. Say with me, it is God's will to hear me at all times. Hearing me in prayer is God's will. He can't say, if I ask according to his will, when I'm praying, it is according to my will that I pray. Whatever I'm believing God for, it can't be according to his wishes. Let me put it this way. It is not what God wants that you ask in prayer. It's what I want. Yes or no? So if you are saying that it's according to his will, so I have to find out the will of God first. No, I am the will of God already. I'm a son of God. Say amen. What is calling confidence? The word confidence is the word parousia. It means the boldness with which you have to demand your right to ask. Bragging rights over any situation. What's that right? You know you have eternal life. You are a son. All that the Father has is yours. Hallelujah. All that the Father has is yours. Remember in that parable that Jesus gave about the father and his two sons? And one went missing when he came back. Do you notice one of the things that Jesus said about the father to the older brother? None of them was good. All of them needed to know their father. The two of them had one major problem. None of the two of them really understood who their father really was. The one who left home didn't understand how generous his father was. The one who was at home also didn't understand how generous. So he was working to earn the father's approval. He didn't know that he ought to work with his father's approval. There's a difference. So that one came to his father. I've been working for you all these years. You could even give me a small goat. And the father looked at him. Give you a small goat. All that I have is yours. You know what I was saying? Even the goat you're asking for, you are the one keeping it. You could have had a party anytime. Religion is bad though. I'm just telling you. The father wasn't keeping it. He was one keeping and he couldn't touch. Why? He had a wrong view of his father. And the father said, you don't understand. All that I have is yours. You are asking me to give you what belongs to you. Think about it. It means you could have had a party anytime you wanted. But religion stopped you from having it. You know, there are believers who think that God doesn't want us to have good things in life. That God wants you to live on, barely get along street. You think God is happy that you are embarrassed without strength. You think he's happy. And you are his son and he is your father. And he has never held any man. You know, some pictures, it just doesn't line up. This is the confidence we have in him. There's a boasting, there's a boldness that we have, and that boldness that he always wants to hear us in prayer. That is will. God's will is to hear you when you pray. That's his will. That means God is delighted when you are praying, because something's about to manifest. Hallelujah. So what is the confidence we have in prayer? It's not that we have eternal life. It is that we know that we have eternal life. Our confidence is in knowledge. You already have eternal life. But that you know you have it is the confidence you have in prayer. And it is God's will to always hear you in prayer. Say amen. Say amen. John's Gospel chapter. Let me look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, 12. Let me show you so you see it again. Because after the matter of two or three witnesses, in case you are thinking, are we making it up? We're not. It's the way this verse is phrased. That's where the problem is. They put commas in the wrong places. Look at what how Peter puts it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the... Who is the righteous? Who is the righteous? Who is the righteous? So are his eyes over you? Are his ears open? Can you see that? Do you notice it doesn't say anything about prayer point here? And his ears are open to hear your prayers. Is it not clear? John's Gospel chapter 16, verse 23. Quickly. John's Gospel 16, 23. Let's see one of the things that Jesus said about his name. In that day... So everything about Jesus speaks about the day. Which day is he talking about? The day of salvation. What's another name for that day? When he's at the Father's right hand, when he has all authority. So he says, in that day, when I have all authority, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask, say whatsoever. Does whatsoever sound like something that you have to consult God for, whether it is his will? The minute you put God's will, you can't use whatsoever. The two of them don't go in the same verse. You can't put whatsoever and the will of God, you can't put them together. He's telling you the will of God is that whatsoever you want is my will for you. Whatsoever you want. Think about it. In that day, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, what is his name? All authority. What will happen? He will give it to you. Notice the absolute finality in those statements. There is no maybe, there's no if. There's not it may happen. He says, he will give it to you. Either to or up to now, you have asked nothing in my name. What is Jesus saying? The name I'm talking about is a name that I will have in that day. The reason why you have not asked is I don't yet have the name. Glory to God. I don't yet have the name. I don't have that kind of authority yet. I don't have that kind of placement yet. So up to now, you have asked nothing in my name. He said, but now ask and you shall what? Receive that your joy may be full. Next verse. This is have I spoken to you, Proverbs. The time coming when I shall no more speak unto you, Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Next verse. At that day, you shall ask in my name. Pay attention to this now. He's still talking about his name. What does his name mean again? What does his name mean again? All authority. So, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you. I will pray the Father for you. Now, this is the aspect where pastors have a difficult time with church members. Because this truth is what makes us pray in the spirit. I need you. Look at what Jesus said. Don't dilute it. Throw away your traditional religious ideas. Jesus is telling you, in that day, I won't be your go-between. I did not say I will pray the Father for you. Mm-mm. Because the way I am in my relationship with the Father is the way you will be. So I'm not going for you. You are going by yourself because you and I are the same. This is why we pray a lot in tongues, so that your mind will not blow. No. Look at what Jesus said. He said, in that day, I'm not saying to you, I will say to the Father, I will pray for you. Look at what's next verse. Look at next verse. For the Father himself loves you because you want love me. And you believe that I want, I came out from God. That's a new creation. That's a new creation. In John chapter 17, verse 22, 20, that's what he now says. And now I'm praying that day they may know one thing. It says that they will know that you have loved them as you have loved me. You know, the mind is a bit like, how can you say God loved Jesus the way he loves me? But Jesus just told you in that day, you and I will be one. Since the same spirit that dwells in us, how can the Father love you less than he loves me? He's telling you the status you have is the status I have. In fact, I got that status so you can be there. I said something, was it yesterday or last week? I said, Emmanuel means God has become as one of us. That's the beginning of the journey. The end of the journey is that so that we may be like him. So he came to be as one of us, So he borrowed our humanity so he could give us his divinity. Do you understand? That's what he did. He borrowed our humanity. He used it to fulfill a divine purpose. When he rose, he still rose as a man full of God, so that you can also rise as a man full of God. And it will be done legitimately. That's what he did. So, the Father's right hand, the implication is this. It was an empty space waiting for somebody to sit there. Nobody sat there until the one for whom it was prepared. And by the word prepared means that he met all the qualifications and then he sat. He destroyed hell, death, and the grave, and then he sat. Look at Hebrews 1:3. I'm trusting God that you will get every single step of this. When you stand before sickness and you know that in the name of Jesus means all authority that heaven and earth has, you wouldn't shake, the sickness will shake. It's not guessing game. You don't confront demons hoping that today it will work. You were constituted victorious. Let me put it this way. When Jesus rose from the dead, and then salvation was made possible, when you became born again, the mold you came out from is a mold of a victor. Hallelujah. You came out of a mold of a victor. So the Bible now calls you more than a conqueror. Because everything was done before you were born. You were born into everything complete. Moses, we are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. So when you rebuke demonic spirits, you are complete in the head as the head yourself. That's what it means. So it's not a guess game. It's not, you know, I hope today it will. No. When you speak, events happen. I need to realize it. It's describing Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by what? The word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, did what? He sat down. Where? On the right hand of majesty on high. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So if you know the name now, when he says he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name, he can't be talking about the name of Jesus, the name of Michael, the name of Gabriel. Can't you see the name of Jesus is sweeter than the name of Michael or Gabriel? No. When it says that angels, angels refer to a particular cadre of being. Sons are a particular cadre of being. So to inherit a more excellent name means that it's a name that is superior in position and standing to where angels stand. That's what it means. That's what more excellent means. That is a different cadre, is a different status and position. So the writer of Hebrews now begins to say, for to which of the angels has God ever said, thou art my son? But he said to Jesus, thou art my son. And by saying that, my son, he elevates him above every angelic being by that statement. Because son, which he has never called any angel, means all that I have belongs to you. If you understand, can you understand? Hallelujah. Are you following tonight? So when you say, I'm praying in the name, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that your eyes will be open to see the weight of heaven, the weight of the Father's splendor behind the mention of that name, behind the use of that name. It's the repository of all the Father has. It's not to be used lightly. It's to be used consciously and confidently. Dead wombs open. Graves vomit their victims. Sickness dies at the instance. The only thing that doesn't respond is whatever is not under the authority of the name. And he has all authority and all power. So what we have is serious. That's why we can go after the lost confidently. Sometimes when they are resisting, we deal with the spirit that's trying to hinder them. If our gospel be it, is it to them that are lost? It won't the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will not shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. So we rebuke that spirit, and then light shines in, and then we win men for Christ in that name. Hallelujah. In that name. those who sit at the Father's right hand. Psalm 2, you know, the Bible says that, why did the Eden rage? And we imagine vain things. Isn't it? What does it say next? The kings of the heart, they stood up against the Lord and what? As anointed. It now says, he that sits in the heavens. So, by using the word shall, he's telling you is a futuristic event. Think about it. He that sits in the heavens is a reference to the Father's right hand. What is he talking about? At the time the prophecy was given, no one was sitting there. Hallelujah. No one was sitting there. He that sits is a reference to somebody who will be made to sit. And when that person sits, listen carefully, his sitting is his laughter. Glory to God. His sitting is laughter. Because the sitting means he has conquered all principalities and powers. So he looks at every attempt they make as a mockery. He's already seated. He that seated is a reference to someone who will come and sit. So even that verse is talking about the glorification of Jesus. He that sits, no one was sitting there. But the beautiful thing about that verse is this, that the psalmist didn't see, is that when he sat, we sat with him. So that his laughter is our laughter. We laugh there together. Hallelujah. In absolute victory and absolute health, we laugh there together. We make a mockery of demonic attacks. Because it's too late to fail now. We have won already. No matter how events appear, it's too late to turn around our salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Our Savior is seated. Our shepherd is seated. Our victory is seated. Our promotion is seated. Our health is seated. Our victory is forever seated. Hallelujah. So his sitting means so much to us. That sitting is a greater work. That's why he could say greater than this. So he knew that the scope of authority will be more. Acts chapter 2. From verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord. Let's look at verse 8 of verse chapter 1, please. Verse 8 of chapter 1. Thank you. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall be one witnesses unto me, both in one Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That verse is cool, but I want another verse prior to that. So that should be verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of my Father, of the Father, which saith ye, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. Did you see that? You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's how Acts records it. Look at how Luke records the same account. Now, Luke is recording the same thing, so you have to understand that he's not saying something different, he's saying the same thing. Look at how Luke records it in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you one be endued with power from where? On high. Now, if you followed everything I've been taking since, can you tell me another word from on high? Can you tell me another word from on high? Thank you. Right hand, the Father's right hand. So he's telling you the indwelling of the Spirit and the Father's right hand are connected. Let me ask another question. When Jesus was doing his works on the earth, did anybody have indwelling of the Spirit? No. So obviously the indwelling of the Spirit, the Father's right hand, and greater works are what? Connected. Exactly. So Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, fulfilled his promise and baptized men with the Holy Ghost. It was the one who did it. Then something strange happened. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 2. Jesus baptized men with the Holy Ghost like he promised. I send the promise of my father upon you. Tarry in Jerusalem. So as they tarried, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. In fact, when Peter was explaining what happened, he said, this Jesus, he by the right hand be exalted, has set forth this, which you now see and hear. Who did it? Jesus did it. But by Acts chapter 8, look at verse 15. Acts 8, 15. Something changed. Greater works. Something changed. Acts 8, 15. Verse 14. Let's say 14. 14. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem and at Samaria, had received the word of God, that means they had gotten born again, they sent unto them Peter and John. Next verse. Who, when they were come, prayed for them, that they might what? Receive the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For as yet it was falling upon all of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Next verse. That means they were only saved. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9. 9:15. But the Lord said unto him, this is God, Jesus appeared to Ananias, go thy way, for as the chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Next verse. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Next verse. Ananias went his way and entered in the house, and putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee on the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost did what? Fell on all them which had the word. Next verse. And they of the circumcision we believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. What is similar in Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10? What happened in Acts 2? Jesus baptized men with the Holy Ghost. But in Acts 8, people received the Holy Ghost through men. Did you see the difference? From after Acts 2, it was never directly from Jesus again. It was now occurring through men. That means because of where we are seated, the same way he baptizes men, through us, he baptizes men. Hallelujah. That's a greater work. That through you and I, men can get filled with the Spirit. If you go to Acts chapter 19 also, at Ephesus, the same thing happened with the Apostle Paul. He laid hands on disciples that he saw. They were all filled with Holy Ghost and they prophesied. So true men now, at the sign of greater authority, men were now receiving the Holy Ghost. So also right now, it is the church that gets men filled with the Holy Ghost. Who is doing it through us? Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? It's a greater work. Hallelujah. It's a greater work. How many of you have gotten someone filled with the Spirit? Let me see. You got somebody filled with Spirit? Let me see. You got somebody filled with Spirit? Okay. So, if you've never done it, you will do it very soon. Yeah, because this is a training school. So, local assembly is a training school. And we mean business in 2019. You must do, tell your neighbor, you must do the work of the ministry. God has called you. Not just a secular work, but the work of the ministry. Do you know when we stand before Christ, secular work will matter? It is what he has called every Christian to, irrespective of secular work, that will matter. And it is what you do for Christ that will now count. Your giving will count. Your reaching the lost will count. Your training men or equipping men or revealing truth to men will also count. But anything that has to do with earthly material things won't count, except what those earthly material things are used for in relation to Christ. That's all. So, we are no longer in the era of, I am not a pastor, they are pastors. Can all the ministers of God stand up? Is the one who is counting them? Sister, I'm looking at you, go. Because there's something with them. When we hear minister, we've forgotten that that's a word used to address every believer. A minister is somebody who has something to minister to others. And if you have nothing, you have the Spirit to minister. That means you're a minister. Say, I'm a minister of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Mama says, my sufficiency is not of myself. My sufficiency is of God, who also has made me an able minister of the New Testament. Not of letter, but the Spirit. Hallelujah. So there's no such thing as no, there is no line between clergy and, you know, and laity. No. We erase the line. Amen. You will do the work of the ministry. You will lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. You will preach the gospel to the lost, they will be saved. You will get men filled with the Spirit. It's your work, your assignment. And Christ has entrusted it to every one of us. That's why we're learning. You think, I'm not just giving you knowledge. We will make demand from the knowledge we have given you. So if you have not gotten tapes now, in Jesus' name, go and get it. Because your exam is practical. It's not theory. It's practical we're going to do with these things you are learning. It's very important that you understand that. So the greater work, men are getting men filled with the Spirit. It's a greater work. Why? All authority and all power. We are seated with him at the Father's right hand. In his name, whatever we demand becomes a reality. Guess what? It's also our name. Hallelujah. It's also our name. So when you say you're praying in the name of Jesus, you're not praying in that nomenclature, J-E-S-U-S. You're praying as a son. Because to pray in the name of Jesus means to pray in what that name has accomplished. And if they didn't do anything at all, it is the name that made you a son. Say, I'm a son of God. You know, my Bible says son. It doesn't exclude women. It just uses that name as a generic name for everybody who's a child of God. So in case you are thinking, we didn't say son or daughters. No. Son is for everybody, both male and female. We are sons of God. Behold, what man of God the Father has bestowed upon us that we should become what? The sons of God. This is even put daughters there. It's because sons covers everybody. Hallelujah. Okay? That we should call sons of God. That's what the Bible says. So, in a name, is sonship expressed. And because you are a son, that's why I said the other day, when you say Father, you have already used the name of Jesus. It's not until you say, in Jesus' name. And some people qualify it, in the matchless name of Jesus. In the beautiful name of Jesus. In the glorious name of Jesus. In the highly most precious name of Jesus. Now, all those terminologies are pleasing you. They are pleasing you. When he met Saul on the road to Damascus, he didn't say, hi, the most glorious, the most magnificent. He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. If the name doesn't need qualification, is a qualifier. I am Jesus whom thou... He didn't say, I'm the Lord. When you see things like that, even if you are arch or circumference bishop, when you get outside, you won't be saying those things again. I mean, I accused of many people that, you didn't tell us you're a pastor. I said, I wasn't born that way. This is my name. You asked for my name. This is my name. They didn't, when I was born, they didn't put this as part of my initials. It's a function. The head of the church introduced it by his first name. Can you imagine? I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Think about it. His name doesn't need any adjective. It's an adjective, it's a verb, it's a noun. It's everything. By saying I am Jesus, it means I am all authority in heaven and earth. That's who I am. Think about it. So when you're praying in that name, you're praying as a son. Said, I did not say that I will pray the Father for you. The Father himself loves you. Say, the Father loves me. Not by proxy. Remove those religious ways. Father, because of Jesus, have mercy. Eh? That's how you became his son. Because of Jesus, he had mercy, then you now became his son. So don't rewind it or reverse it. Have you ever said, even when he was on that, Jesus said, Father, you know I'm your son. You see anybody like that? How even your son came to him? Mommy, this is Isaac, your son. Me, your son. I'm asking as your son. You will call your husband. What do you give me to drink before I came back? Because when he says mommy, you even recognize the tone of his voice. When you see his face before he can talk, you even know what he's about to ask. So it doesn't need to be, you know, all this, you know, trying to pacify you as though, no. It goes straight to the point. Is this what you want to say? Mommy means you are my mother, I'm your son. That's what it means. He said, mommy, in the name of your son, I'm asking. You know that he has taken something before he came back. That has codeine inside. When it's not talking that way. No, he just talks like a child. No, just no, the same way. When you say father, If you finish that prayer and not say in the name of Jesus, you have already used the name of Jesus. No, Father, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. And he said that, Father, Lord, and God. All together. You alone. You know, Africans are wonderful. And if he does this, we'll be able to impress him. No. God is impressed when you take him at his word. Just act out what he says you are. Just act out what he says you are. And see the results. The only time Jesus ever prayed and he said his statement, he even told us why he said it, at the graveside of Lazarus. He said, Father, I know that you hear me always. But for the sake of this people, that's why I said it. He said, I thank you that you hear me always. He said, but it's for this, because of this people. The minute he finished, he said, Lazarus, come out. It was specific. He didn't make himself say, come out. Everybody there will come out. So you have to call the only person. It's only Lazarus I'm calling. Just a few stay there. Yes. You didn't hear what he told me when I was there. Well, even though he's dead, I know people are religious. You were telling Jesus, if you had come early, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, did I not say unto you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? He said, yes. He said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He said, but I know that you will raise him up on the last day. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm not going to be, I am. Lazarus, comfort. He mentioned his name. Because Jochebed too will come. All of them will start coming. So you have to mention the name that it's only you I'm calling. You come out. The rest of you wait until I rise from the bed. We'll settle your case. Hallelujah. Greater works. Now, think about it. If you have all authority, there is no way on earth, except you are led not to go, that you cannot go without authority. You cast out devils, you win souls. The message he gave them to preach is different from the message he gave them when he was on the earth. When he arose, he told them, go into all the world. They couldn't make disciples until he rose from the dead. What does it make disciples? Get others filled with the Spirit like you. Teach them the word like you. Let them now do what you are doing. That's why we lay hands on men to impart them with the graces of God. With the functions of God. With the equipings of God. We do that. It's part of ministry. I mean, getting men filled with the Holy Ghost for about 25 years. And I've seen all kinds of manifestations. But one of the most common things I've seen is that most of the time when I do that, there's usually some activations of spiritual equipment on the inside of men. Almost every single time. Gone to meetings when people... I know there's a slant of the mind. I've gone to meetings where people were so eager, it was a difficult thing to teach. I was forced to start ministry because they were just drawing. And that's how spiritual things operate. You know, I've been to meetings where... Because I flew a lot in the spirit of sin that way, and people came here just wanting that grace. And so easy to impart. I went for a meeting about a year or two ago, and about three ministers traveled down just for that meeting. I've never met them, they only knew me from Facebook. And I addressed them as I was going to minister somebody by the Spirit of God. I just stopped. I said, You, watch as I minister to this person. If you see what I do, you will do it after I do it. They went back to their campuses, never the same again. One of them said, every meeting he goes into, he will see the meeting before he gets to the meeting. Every meeting after that experience. Now, those are impartations. Those are greater works. That's greater works. Why am I saying all that? As we pray tonight. So I prepared your mind now, Abby. I come up with my phone. Now, there are many of us here tonight. And some are not here tonight. That there's some equippings and graces that will find expression shortly from now. Things you didn't know were there before, they will rise to the surface. Spiritual equipping. They're for the work of the ministry. They're to bless lives. They're to turn lives around. Do you understand? Now, all this teaching is part of you getting set to respond so you don't run away. So you can respond. I've been talking to her for a long time now. She's been trying to run. I've been talking to her for a long time. But the time of running is over. The grace time is over. It's time for the work. Now, I can point to a number of us here so that I also know, as a pastor, that these things are your inside. It's now time. Say it's time. Say it's time. So it's time to respond to the ability of God. Those graces, like this, become very strong, very pronounced. Because this place is a batting place for ministry gifts. So it's not just a normal local assembly. That's the work of a local humans, normal local assembly. Business gifts are raised. So do not say I'm not a teacher. Do not say I'm not a pastor. You don't need title. You just need the equipping of God to work. Leave the title. Function in the grace. It's more important. Because these days that we're in require it. And we're being see, so much more knowledge is being released in the body. Light is coming out. Because work has to be done very rapidly. So we will need you on the crusade ground. We will need you on street outreaches. You are not just a housewife. You are first a servant of God. A minister of Christ. Okay? So it's time to rearrange your priorities. All your goals should not be about how to make it. How to get rich. Your goals now, priorities should shift. Christ has to take center stage. And the things of the ministry have to become more prominent now because, like I said, the time is short. Hallelujah. Can we pray tonight? Can we pray tonight? Pray from your heart and consecrate yourself again to some of these things. Consecrate yourself. You won't run. You won't draw back. You won't shy away. Pray. Consecrate yourself. He has chosen you. He said, you've not chosen me. I have chosen you that you may bear fruit. I have chosen you that you may bear fruit. And that your fruit may abide. Your fruit may abide. I have chosen you. You've not chosen me. Pray in the Holy Ghost. His plans for you. His purpose for you. The coming year, much fruit you are meant to bear. Much results are meant to come to the surface. Pray from the depth of your heart. Let the strength of God motivate you to pray. Tell him there's no more shrinking, no shying away, no drawing back. No hanging in a corner. No doing just enough to get by. No. You give yourself wholly to those things. As you meditate, then your prophecy begins to appear to all. Mako braste legishte. Elezuzo brusta frakaste zuzo brusta. Kala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to sit down, sit down. Let me have your attention for a minute. In Acts chapter 10, the Bible teaches us that Peter went upon the rooftop to pray, and they became hungry while they were yet making food. He began to pray. How do we know Peter prayed in the spirit? Well, he had a vision. He fell into a trance. The word he fell into a trance in the original translation actually means he fell over bodily. So he went under the power and he went into a trance. One of the things that happened when Peter went to pray on the housetop was that he actually prayed out that vision. Many times when we pray the operations of the Spirit of God many times without knowing. Why do I say that? When we're praying now, I saw that there are a number of us here that we're going to have certain specific visitations that you have allowed those things to happen by the prayers we pray tonight. Okay? When it happens, if you want confirmation, you can come and talk about it. But some things are going to happen. A long line of divine visitations because of some of the things that we're preaching tonight. Because again, God is searching for every willing heart. That's why I said, please don't say, I'm a housewife, I'm a mother of four, and my assignment is in my office and in the kitchen in my house. No, there's no such thing in the days ahead. What you're really born for is going to come to the surface. Say amen. It's important that you recognize that now. You know, I've told you now, so when it starts happening, don't start saying, what's going on? It's what is going on, it's what I'm telling you now. What's going on? So I'm preparing you by praying. And one of the ways you pray to prepare yourself is to pray much in the spirit so that when those things begin to come forth, you won't have any difficulty obeying. Jesus prayed so he will go through the cross. He prayed 3 times. That is Jesus, sinless. That means he didn't want to go through it because the journey was so he prayed. That's why we pray. We pray to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts because when the rubber meets the road, or what do you call it now? You may not want to go ahead. So you pray to prepare yourself. You, so to speak, sell yourself out completely to God as you pray in the spirit. You have said yes to many things that your senses normally will not say yes to. That's how we pray that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet again. We're going to continue praying. Now I want to pray. No, sit down, please. I want us to pray. Just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray more. Pray more in the Holy Ghost. The Bonjesh, the Brewster, Galo, Sato. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you, when you're praying, saw something about her? I'm not going to ask you to come and say it, so don't worry. How many you saw something about her? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to your name forever. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it's a broken lakibone, alostecoreatis. Tio, safrodalista, asuka. Sekuglabo, Peliana, Boshariastakis, we give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. Setuko, Bratale, Ali, Kushtabre, Kitebu, Kubrustaka, Liemuns, 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 Liemuns. Men will be strengthened. You to be renewed. Les Sukrotakali, eh, Sukrotakada. Men will be mightily invigorated by the power of God. Physically strengthened. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Sakali, Eli Broduka Lashde, ah, Suko Gledike, Esuproko Kasili Gishte, stronger than ever before. Men will be in their bodies, men will be free of sickness and disease, men will walk in the vitality of God. Eli Subra, Tonya, Kalaki Broshiko, Les Sukrota, and accuracy, oh, and divine sensitivity will become plain, will become common, oh, will become the normalcy. Eli Kobra, Suli Krashte Kuna Sita, ah, Subrako, Enkle bosh tabradusa, lesumbo kapi, e kiko glada, pulse frotila shite, lasumbu grudia, and there will be light that will pierce every darkness. There will be light that will show for so much clarity. There will be light that will bring so much understanding. There will be light, a little shubrukus, and there will be accuracy in the leadings and the promptings of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the light of the new year dawns. Thank you, Father, for the work of the saints greatly enhanced. Thank you, Father. In all clarity, we march ahead. Thank you, Father. There's no guesswork, but there are clear instructions and directions received, and men run like never before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The confusion is past. Yeah. The sluggishness is gone. Yeah. The stagnation is no more. But there's a moving forward. There's a moving forward. There is a propelling by the Spirit of God. And men bust through barriers. Men break through doors. And men have access to places they never had access to before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The work will not be hindered by provision. For provision will come abundantly. Abundantly and superfluously. Provisions will come. Provisions will come. We give you praise. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Glory to God.